You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
I'm Charlie Langton, Fox 2, WWJ, the newest show, the greatest show right now, Dinner in the D. I can't wait to see it again and again. It's like a really good meal.
How's the Italian food in this restaurant?
Hey, top of the morning to you. Happy St. Patty's Day from Nancy Whiskey. We have the owner, Jerry Stevens, going to tell us what he's serving up on tap.
Would Monsieur care for another bottle of the Chateau Latour?
Yes, but no more 1966. Let's splurge. Bring us some fresh wine, the freshest you've got. This year's, no more of this old stuff.
We're with Sheila Brody, who is a former bride of Funkenstein from George Clinton and the P-Funk.
What about you, Peggy Sue?
$5 shake.
You think I can have a sip of that?
Be my guest.
I gotta know what a $5 shake tastes like.
We have Ryan Chapp, VP of Business Development of Grobel's Corned Beef Eastern Market Detroit. Stay tuned, we got some cool stuff happening on St. Patty's Day, live from Dinner in the D at Nancy Whiskey.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Dinner in the D. I'm Chef Bobby, your host, and we have a hell of a show today. We are broadcasting live this morning on St. Patty's Day. And you know what? What better place than Nancy Whiskey's? This place opened up in 1902. Dave, tell us how cool this place is. Give our listeners a little shout out.
Oh, dude, this place is amazing. So, like, I've been coming here for a long time. We've brought some of our IT and the D events here. And the best part was we had probably 60 or 70 people showed up that night, and to a T, every single one of them was like, dude, I've heard about this place so many times, I've never made it down, thank you for doing the event here. I mean, you've got the phone booth that Hoffa used to make his calls in over in the corner. You've got just, I mean, pictures with Tommy guns. I mean, there's so much history in this place, it's amazing.
This is old Detroit. Corktown is one of the toughest neighborhoods at one time. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't even know that I would qualify that with at one time.
It's still that way. All right. Well, that's good. I feel safer already. That's awesome. So today what we're going to talk about is the amazing job that everyone does here with the corned beef. And who more to talk about corned beef is we have Ryan Capp from Grobel's Corned Beef joining us today. He was nice enough to bring a bunch of swag down from Grobel's Corned Beef. Grobel's Corned Beef is older than Nancy Whiskey's. Grobel's Corned Beef has been around over 132 years. Look how good Ryan looks for 132 years old. This guy looks amazing. So this guy's
drinks a lot of water.
He drinks a lot of water along with the corned beef.
Yeah.
So we're gonna hit the kitchen. We're gonna talk to the chef. We have Cheryl Grogan, who is kind of the gatekeeper here. She's been running this place for quite some time now. We have the beautiful Stephanie Camilleri here, and Stephanie Camilleri is gonna tell us the shenanigans she has to deal with on a daily basis here. The shots she pours, the food she serves. And, you know, this show is basically about what goes on in and around Detroit. And we talk about the culinary scene, the arts, the entertainment, the musicians, the fashion. And it's everything that Detroit's all about, the automotive industry. I was in here earlier talking to a couple guys that are truck drivers from Chrysler. They're 2 weeks away from retiring. I think the guy's last name's Hickey. He's going to come on and talk to us about moving metal and moving automotive parts for Chrysler here in the Motor City. This place, Nancy Whiskey's, is an absolute staple for him and his crew. They love this place. If you ever get to Detroit, you got to come by and you got to see Cheryl Grogan and you got to say hi to Stephanie Camilleri. So what we're going to do is we're going to throw it over to Cheryl Grogan, and Cheryl Grogan is going to tell us about what we got going on today. Here, there's a lot going on. The crowds are filing in. And did you tell me that you guys go through 400 pounds?
Absolutely. We go through about 400 pounds each day. On St. Patrick's Day and Parade Day of corned beef sandwiches, corned beef sliders, and red potatoes.
So you're doing Redskins potatoes. I saw you carrying in the 50-pound bags from Eastern Market.
Yep.
So that's awesome. So what... What's your most popular drink, Stephanie? What do you guys drink? What do you guys sell the most of here today?
Whiskey.
Lots of Irish whiskey. Is it Jameson's or?
Tallamore Dew.
That's our house whiskey. We're the first ones to carry it in the States. And when you actually go to the Tallamore Dew factories in Ireland, there's like an interactive screen you sign in on. And if you hit Michigan, when it asks where you're from, it'll show up, pop right up to Nancy Whiskey. It's the first place to carry it. We get so much love from those reps and from Tallamore Dew. It's a great whiskey. You should come down.
We sell more than any bar in the United States.
So, Cheryl, you got any pullover? I haven't tasted it yet. You think we can?
Absolutely. We'll get some shots over here.
You're the gatekeeper here. You can snap your fingers
and get some good Irish whiskey over here pretty quick.
So I'm going to throw it over to Ryan Chapp. And Ryan Chapp is the business developer and the chief of marketing. And he's basically the next generation. He's the succession plan over at Grobel's Corned Beef in Eastern Market. Again, we love to celebrate what's going on in and around Detroit, and what better way than to have Ryan here from Grobel's Corned Beef, one of the oldest companies in Detroit. I think you guys are older than Ford Motor Company, right?
We've been around since 1883. We've been in the city since 1883. We got kicked out of Campus Martius when that was the original market, so they moved us over to the where the current Eastern Market is now. Right now, it's actually St. Patrick's Day, so the corned beef season is like, if you haven't gotten your corned beef yet, it's kind of too late.
So you guys start shipping out like 1 million pounds a week, basically, like in the last 5 or 6 weeks? How much product are you guys moving, like 6 weeks prepping and ramping up to this holiday season?
Basically, starting the beginning of February, we shipped out like between 400 and 500 truckloads. 16.5 million pounds of corned beef.
16. So 16.5 million pounds of beautifully brined Detroit style corned beef from Grobel's Corned Beef. How cool is that? You guys sent me over some samples yesterday, and we devoured that stuff. I was telling Dave here, I said I had to call my priest this morning, get dispensation, because I am going to eat a lot of corned beef. So that being said, we got some people around, hovering around. We're serving some shots of Zim's, and we're doing, what are we doing? The Irish 81 today with Zim's Vodka. Zim's Vodka is one of our sponsors. Terry and Bruce are awesome. They support us quite well. They came to our first podcast. Those guys are sunning their buns in Naples, Florida, I believe, today. So we're going to give them a shout out. They probably got their toes in the sand and a Zim's in their hand. And sunglasses on and a baseball cap, cruising around Naples, Florida. Well, we have actually a pretty good day today. It's a pretty nice day in Detroit. We're going to be in the mid-30s today, some sunshine. Now tell us about what's going on. You guys have a huge party tent out there. What's going on? You took me back there. You got a radio station there today. You got food back there today.
Invite
some fans down. Let's get them fired up.
Come on down. We have the radio stations here every St. Patrick's Day. People have been coming here for years and years from the old Tiger Stadium. It's been part of our family for like 83 Nancy Whiskeys have. We have very loyal customers, and we are the best party in the city on St. Patrick's Day, bar none, I would say.
Since 1902, you know what to do, right?
Yep.
That's a long time, man. That's a long time. So, we got some guys over here. We're going to invite some folks in and talk a little bit more about what's happening. So in a couple weeks, we're going to hit a few more places. We'd like to talk about that, folks, in a little bit. So what kind of bread are you guys using today? You guys using rye bread, using an onion roll?
We use bakery buns on our slider and Kaiser rolls on our bun that we pick up the day before.
Because I know you guys are known for your corned beef sandwiches.
Yes.
So with regards to that, what do you guys?
How long do we have to wait?
11 o'clock, right?
No, you can. We can get you on. We're going to get some Tallamore Dew over here for you to try.
We're going
to
do some shots. My buddy Louis Bercolas just walked in. He said he's going to buy everybody drinks this morning.
So, I'm going to go get us some shots.
All right, Stephanie, talk to us for a minute.
Look
at Stephanie just pull the bottle of Tallamore Dew out of her back pocket here.
I got it covered.
That was awesome. So these ladies have been nice enough to roll out the red carpet for us today, occupy some space in this historic building. Again, 1902, here in Corktown, a great, great town, a staple in the city of Detroit, right around the corner from Rosa Parks Boulevard. off of I-75, I believe, correct? And like Dave was saying earlier, I mean, Jimmy Hoffa came in here and ripped shots, and he had some guys from the Detroit Mob hanging here ripping shots, you know, making nice with the Irish Mafia down here. So this place is really cool. It's got a lot of historic value to it. It has an old. You feel like you're passing by if you look at the place from the outside. It looks like a bunch of duplexes stacked together. You wouldn't think it was a bar. Or
well,
a
it's
restaurant.
Your. It's a. When you hear the phrase neighborhood bar, it's literally a bar in a neighborhood. I mean, this is what every neighborhood used to have, and this is one of the few that are still here and running.
So. I've been to Chicago before, and they still have neighborhood bars like this. You can do Italian, you can get Irish.
Oh, yeah.
They're still there. I think this is something that's really cool, that this is probably one of the only kind, really, that is here.
Oh, they're still floating around, absolutely.
Is there a couple more floating around? I mean, this is the only one I know of its kind, really, that's in a residential area.
I don't know of any other.
Literally, we pulled in, and it's like there's houses and neighborhoods and... You know, people out in their garages, and we're rocking and rolling, and this place is jumping, and they're parking up and down the streets, and they're really starting to come in by the hundreds now. When we first got here, we had over 100 people here this morning here at Nancy Whiskey's here in Corktown. I'm going to throw it back to Ryan. Ryan's going to talk to us about some of the processing and stuff like that you guys do to expedite such a massive amount of product. And such a consistent product and such a trusted name. So with Grobel's Corned Beef, I've been through your factory and your processing plant. From what I understand, you guys have like a state-of-the-art. You guys just invested $7 million in your processing plant. It's like state-of-the-art. It's like Star Wars in there. It's
well,
pretty cool.
Yeah, it's one of a kind. It's something that we've developed and just rolled out for this season. It's called a continuous flow process. So typically when you make corned beef, you know, it's there's a lot of old school processing involved. You inject it. In the past, you used to just brine it. You used to throw briskets in with, you know, your salt water and your seasonings, and it would just take a week, and then you'd have your corned beef. So now the more modern process is you inject it, and then you let it sit for, you know, 24 hours.
Okay.
Well, our new process is a continuous flow where, you know, the product just gets injected, tumbled, and processed right in real time. So basically, you start with a fresh brisket, and 20 minutes later, you know, start on one end of the line, 20 minutes later comes out fully corned beef in a package ready to go.
So let me ask you this. When I was there visiting your plant, I noticed you had like, it looked like a whiskey brewing system almost. It looked like a distillery.
Yes.
And that's how you guys do your brine.
Yeah. We have gigantic batches of brine that we make using an actual, like, it's a customized coffee maker. So it's basically we make a tea with our brine, the flavoring.
So when I was there, folks, they have, it looks like they're brewing beer, but they're actually brewing a very elegant brine for the corned beef. And it's very efficient and it's very consistent. So every single time that brine spits out into the line, it's been fully brewed, it's been fully steeped, almost as if you were steeping a pot of tea, a kettle
exactly.
of tea, correct?
Exactly.
Nobody else does that. You guys are very,
not that
very...
we know of.
Yeah, so that's a system that you and your Uncle Jason developed with a company, a food science company, basically, correct?
Yeah, our team came together. Actually, what we tried to do is send it out to these spice makers and say, hey, can you replicate our product? Just give us a powder. Make the flavor for us and get it to us that way. They couldn't do it. So we decided to keep doing it our way ourselves, but created a process in which we could do it in a massive scale, the same every time. And
that's awesome.
Exactly,
you know, with any business, I don't care if you're a lumberyard or if you are a construction company or you're an IT company or everything's about consistency. You know, delivering that product, regardless of what service you have or what service you deliver, it's all about consistency. And you guys are very cost effective. Your product's very moderately priced. It's not super, super high. It's not super, super low. You guys are right in the middle. Retail, what's it run a pound for your brisket?
I mean, it depends on where you're at in the country. But typically, you know, a flat cut, you're looking at somewhere in the, you know, $3.50 to $4 range.
That's very reasonable. It's something everybody can afford.
Absolutely.
You're not talking $8, $9,
$10. No.
I'm really proud of your product. I love the succession program that your family set in place. You know, not a lot.
lot of young family members that are born into a legacy business. Basically, you guys have it all dialed in, and you're the next guy to carry the torch, right, Ryan?
Well, I don't know if I'm the next guy to carry the torch, but I'm going to be on the team that keeps on continuing for hopefully another 140 years.
I'm plugging for you.
You're gonna appreciate it.
I think Ryan's doing a darn good job here. So to rock it out, I'm going to kick it back to Stephanie Camilleri. Stephanie Camilleri is a very pretty... Are you married yet?
I will be.
Are you engaged?
I am.
I know a great chef if you need a caterer for your wedding. I know this guy's really good. He's on Fox 2 all the time. He's cooked for celebrities all over the country. He's been to the Oscars. I got an in for you. I'll help you out, okay?
Pull some strings for me?
We'll make it really nice. So, guys, I hate to disappoint you. She's taken, but she's got a great personality, and she's really quick with a shot. She pulled out six shots for our crew here. We're going to have some Tullamore Dew, triple distilled Irish whiskey. No, they're not a sponsor, but maybe someday they will be a sponsor of Dinner in the D with Chef Bobby. So, Stephanie, talk us through when this hits our mouth, what are we expecting?
It's like an angel pissing on your tongue. That's what we say.
That's what my grandpa's favorite saying was whenever they asked him about Tullamore Dew. Angel pissing on your tongue.
An angel pissing on your tongue.
Yep.
An angel pissing. Two angels pissing on our tongue. Happy St. Paddy's Day, everybody. Cheers. Live from Nancy Whiskey's here in Corktown, Detroit, baby. I'm going to stop for a second because I'm going to fire a shot down of Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey Angel Piss. That is sexy. I just had an Irish golden shower in my heart. That's awesome. From the heavens above. So I'm checking out Scott, our producer. Scott's walking around. He's talking to all the pretty girls. He's talking to all the guys here. I really want to get some of those truck drivers over here.
I can grab them for you.
I would love to sit them down and have them talk about what's going on. And that guy with the green mohawk looks pretty cool. He looks interesting. Maybe we'll find out what his deal is and what he's doing today. He's walking pretty straight, so I don't think he's had too much to drink. He looks like a veteran guy.
I believe he's a Teamster.
He's a Teamster?
What are you expecting to come through the door today?
We had about 4,000 on Sunday, so probably a little less than that, but we're still expecting some pretty big numbers.
You had 4,000 here. Now, didn't they do a big marathon here in Detroit, like a charity run on Sunday? Or?
Yeah, they do a run before the parade every year on St. Patrick's Day, and then you see everyone start wandering over. The Michigan Ave stays really crowded most of the afternoon, and then as soon as that breaks up, everyone just gets hit. I'm like, but it's a great time. It's
so
a wonderful crowd.
You guys have had this tent set up since like last week.
Oh, yeah. We started that tent a few days before even parade day to set up all the bars and get everything settled and in place.
For our listeners that aren't from Detroit, tell us about the parade and what it's all about. Is it a free-for-all? Is it organized? Do you have kids? Is it family-oriented? Tell us a little bit about the parade.
It's very well organized. It's run by the Detroit Parade Company, and they do, like, a lot of businesses have their own floats, and it's like, it's great for the community because you can kind of interact with them and you get to build your own float. You can ride on them, we can do whatever we want. There's the Detroit police do a great job keeping everybody in line, making sure everything stays safe. But there are a lot of kids down there, but it is much more of a party. It's not like your Macy's kind of parade.
It's not a family parade, it's more of an adult parade.
Yes, I'm like,
it's not X-rated, but people are having fun.
Keep a close eye.
So
it's a drinking parade.
So the parade. I had a bunch of guys come here last week. They said they had a great time. They're actually at Nancy Whiskey's. I had to work that day. However, I saw a lot of really cool pictures on Facebook and social media. It was awesome. I like to see people gathering in a celebratory manner, celebrating Detroit, celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Are there any specific charities that benefit from the parade? Because I know, like, the parade company does fundraisers and stuff like that. You know of anything like that?
I know that the St. Patrick's Day parade donates to college. You like kids going to college. It's all their funding goes to education. They put out a lot of stuff for education.
So, Cheryl Grogan's one of the gals here that is involved with, you know, getting everything dialed in. She was here till what, 2 o'clock in the morning last night?
Probably to 11, but I've been here about 12 hours every day. And also, what you need to know about Nancy's is we're a big fireman and cop bar. And, you know, the Teamsters and all the locals, they've been our customers forever.
Let's give them a big shout-out. I mean, you know, the police, the fire, the unions, they're really the backbone of the city. And you know, I don't think they get enough credit. Detroit is really establishing its big renaissance right now. You know, you hear names about, like, Dan Gilbert and the Illich family. But I don't think we give our police and fire
enough credit.
Our union guys that have been working on the assembly line and hauling steel and building cars and really making this city come back. I mean, that's been the common denominator of Detroit for forever. And not enough of our people give our fire and police. And, you know, we finally have a city council here that's functioning.
We try to give to them.
The last 10, 15 years, we've had corruption that didn't work in the city.
Right.
And I always joke, just joking, Mayor Duggan, we have corruption that finally works.
Exactly. We're also doing a massive fundraiser for the officers that got shot on the second week in May. Yeah. We're doing a massive fundraiser for the three officers that have been shot here.
Cheryl, how cool is it that they found that guy last night?
I'm so happy.
And matched the gun off and
so
everything.
So happy.
The guy's some mental case. He's
because we have
himself.
A lot of detectives that come in there, and it's been making them crazy. That
it's frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need any setbacks. We want to keep moving forward. We want to keep marching. We have a great chief of police. He's visual. He's very, very camera friendly. He calls Fox 2 News where I work all the time. He loves keeping us informed. He leads from the front.
He's actually doing a podcast here in about a month.
Is he? He's the first chief of police for as long as I can remember that actually leads from the front. Gil Hill did a lot, but it was a lot of Hollywood stuff.
Yeah.
But Chief Craig's doing an amazing job leading from the front. You always see him on TV leading from the front. If there's a standoff or something like that, he's right on the scene.
Yes.
He's not calling the shots from the desk. He's right up front on the front line.
So talk to us about that fundraiser, though. Like, so it's, you said May 2nd?
It's the second Sunday in May. I can't
put a
day out.
So the 14th?
Yeah,
that's right around Thursday, right?
On the 14th, we're going to it's for the three of them. I'm working with the police department. We already have tons of donations. We'll probably get about 1,500 officers, state police, in here.
So, like, what do you need as far as donations go? How do people get involved?
Well, it's a $10 to get in the door. We're going to, anybody that has a business that wants to donate, we're going to do raffles, fundraisers.
So we could use some raffle items, some 50-50 raffle
items?
Yep,
all kinds of stuff.
That's outstanding.
We have all kinds of bands donating their time to play. We'll
awesome.
Have a backside stage.
Folks, there's nothing worse than losing one of your fellow police officers in the line of duty. They leave a lot of loved ones behind. The entire community takes a hit when someone in the service of police or fire go out to protect us and some scumbag takes this guy's life or this woman's life. It leaves the family and the community in ruins for months to come. It's something we never recover. We get used to carrying that hurt. However, the city needs to come together on May 14th. The building that's been here since 1902, a staple, Nancy Whiskey's. We're doing a fundraiser for the fallen officers of Detroit. Chief Police Craig and about 1,500 other police officers are going to be here supporting you. Please send some donations down and see what you can do. Speaking of donating, our guest, Ryan Chapp, and our sponsor, Grobel's Corned Beef, has made us 500 sandwiches through my culinary team at LakelandBanquets.com. At Lakeland yesterday, we were making sandwiches for about 3 hours. We had all hands on deck. The Grobel family and Ryan Chapp were generous enough to say, hey, listen, we're going to go and we're going to have some drinks. We're going to celebrate life. But we can't forget our homeless veterans and our homeless children in the city of Detroit. So they said, how about if we have dinner in the D, whip up 500 corned beef sandwiches, and we'll deliver them to the Covenant House. Folks, the Covenant House is amazing. They do great things for our community. They help out a lot of people, help keep them off the street in transition. So how many pounds of cheese did you guys send us yesterday? How many pounds of beef? What did we get, like 200 pounds of corned beef?
And yeah, it was, I'm not sure exactly how much cheese.
Loaves of bread?
I know that we talk to our good friends over at Milano Bakery.
Milano Bakery, yep. The bread was beautiful.
They sent us basically, you know, 1,000 slices of bread. They were more than happy. They wanted to participate. And Dave DeVries over at DeVries in the Eastern Market, I think he sliced the cheese himself, actually.
It was beautifully sliced cheese.
Yes.
Cheese and it was
he did it himself.
My culinary team was like, oh, we don't have to slice the corned beef. We don't have to slice the cheese. So we made 500 sandwiches yesterday, and Grohl sent these beautiful insulated bags. We're going to drive around the city, and we're going to hand out the dinner in the D, Grohl's corned beef, and LakelandBanquets.com. We're going to celebrate our people that need help today, basically.
Absolutely.
We're going to make sure everybody gets a little something today on St. Paddy's Day. It's not just about our team. It's about giving back. And I know your Uncle Jason and I believe that, you know, status and strength is for service. I mean, it's never for status. Strength is for service, not for status. It's always about helping others. It's never about me or you. It's about helping the city. And I think that's the biggest thing that's going on right now in the city of Detroit, is that our comeback is an entire community development. Everybody's into it. Everybody's excited about it. Everybody's completely fired up to make this city stronger than ever. And it's companies like you that have been in Detroit before it was cool to be in Detroit. Now it's cool to be in Detroit.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys have your digs since
1883.
How cool is that? So listen, we're going to take a break. We're going to close it out. When you come back, we have some more guests. We're going to talk to Mr. Hickey, who's a veteran for the UAW. He's been moving metal and moving auto parts for Chrysler. He's a truck driver. He's down here having a few drinks with his boys. He's 2 weeks away from retirement. We're going to give this guy a big, big shout out today. He deserves it. Hey, we're back live from Nancy Whiskey's. We have a lineup for you now, baby. Dinner in the D, just lassoed, a pioneer, a man of many talents, a man of many business deals. We have the man, the legend, L. Brooks Patterson in the house, live at Nancy Whiskey's on St. Paddy's Day, at a historic site with a man who's made so much history in and around the city of Detroit. It is such an honor to be in your presence, sir. You are the man with the plan, and you've been just making stuff happen in the suburbs of Detroit, in and around Detroit. You are the deal maker. Why haven't you run for governor?
I thought about that one time back in 82, and I was invited up to Traverse City to give a speech in front of the Rotary, which is a big club up there, about 700 members. So a bunch of my guys, we jumped in the van. They drove up to Traverse City. And as you came into town, there's a marquee, and it says, "Welcome, L. Rick Peterson." I said, "We got a lot Peterson. Of work. We got a lot of work to do up here.
Oh boy, we got to fire somebody that day."
Needless to say, we didn't carry so Traverse County.
We have Dario Bergamo, who is affiliated with the Smoke Detroit, which is the cars and cigars. He's a huge, huge fundraiser, philanthropist with the Chelani team. They do stuff at Freedom Hill. They do stuff in and around the city of Detroit. This guy feeds millions of people every year with his philanthropic donations. This guy has the ability to raise over $1 million in one night at Freedom Hill, serve everybody fillets, cigars. Dario Bergamo, welcome to the show. Welcome to Dinner of the D. Welcome to Nancy Whiskey's. Tell us about your cause.
Well, thanks, Bobby. Good seeing you. Congratulations on your podcast. And this guy sitting next to me, we go back a long way. Brooks and I have spent many a St. Paddy's Day out. So you're very kind with your words, and we appreciate everything you're doing now in and around Detroit. But we've got our fourth annual Cars and Cigars fundraiser coming up.
What date is that going to be this year? I'm looking forward to it.
June 8th. It's at Freedom Hill.
And now that's the Michigan Lottery Amphitheater now?
It's
or
now
what's it called now?
Yep, Tom did the naming rights with the Michigan Lottery.
Nice,
correct?
Nice.
Ford's a big sponsor. And our night is sponsored by Lear Corporation, Matt Simoncini and his team. So we're expecting about 1,200 people. And we've probably got 900 to 1,000 already tickets sold
now
without
any
advertising.
I remember that event last year being an amazing networking opportunity, not only an amazing charity, but we met up with some of the biggest, highest rollers, movers and shakers from in and around the city of metropolitan Detroit.
Well, everybody loves that cocktail hour. So what we've done this year, we're trying to introduce more cars. So the event's going to start at 4 p.m. and with the car show, Bobby. And then at 5 o'clock, the actual cocktail party runs for 2 hours till 7. Hopefully, we're going to see Brooks here this year again. And then the program starts about 7:30. And the evening benefits the Chelani Family Foundation as well as the Fuente Cigar Family Foundation.
So the Fuente family is going to be there again this year. Because I remember the Fuente family was there last year.
Well, they're there every year for us because they're one of our guys. They're the cigar portion of Cars and Cigars. And this year is going to be bittersweet because we lost Senior. Carlos Fuente Senior passed away on August 6th. So, such a great man, one of the true patriarchs of the cigar industry worldwide. So, his son, Carlos.
Carlos is taking the
Carlos is there, and his daughter, Cynthia. So, they will both be there as well as their children.
Now, the Chelani family does a lot for the Capuchins, too, correct?
Well, benefiting directly from what we do with Cars and Cigars and money that goes into the Chelani Foundation, we do a program called Hunger Free in the D with Paul W. on JR the Monday before Thanksgiving. So last year, our contribution was $150,000 to the Capuchins, Forgotten Harvest, and Gleaners Food Bank, and that turned into $511,000 on air with Paul. So unbelievable, and those proceeds feed a lot of hungry families in our city.
You guys are great guys. It's you know, I'm a little bit younger than you guys, and I've always looked up to Tom Chelani, you know, Joe Vaccari, all these guys. Growing up as a young kid, you guys are the entrepreneurs.
I'm not as old as those two guys.
But it's cool when you have somebody who's made a success for themselves, and it's not about them. It's about the service. It's never about the status with you guys. It's about serving. You use your strength to serve. Well, and not enough of my generation understands that. I have buddies that have Rolls Royces and big houses. They wouldn't throw $5 to a homeless man if their life depended on it. They're gonna gamble that it's not worth it. And what you guys do is you guys send the elevator down time and time again. I'm going to throw it back to Mr. Brooks Patterson. I want to ask you a question. My show is about food. As a child, what was your favorite dish to eat that your mom and dad made for you in and around the St. Patty's Day holiday during Lent? Was it corned beef or was it shepherd's pie? Or give our listeners something.
If I told you, you'd be surprised, but I will tell you, obviously, and your 4 million listeners, peanut butter and jelly.
Peanut butter and jelly.
That's all we ever ate.
PB&J.
PB&J. I think I had my first meat sandwich until I was in college.
No kidding.
No kidding.
No kidding. So I came from humble beginnings too, so I understand.
We're a middle class family.
If you had money, if you had meat, you thought you were rich growing up. Yeah. I grew up in a poor part of Detroit. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth either, so a lot of the kids in the neighborhood thought we were rich because we always had meat on the table, but my grandfather was a butcher and my grandmother was a baker. So instead of taking a certain amount of money back in the day in Detroit, they would take a little bit of meat, a little bit of money, a little bit of bread, a little bit of money, and we always ate well, thank God.
Well, my mom, God rest her soul, was a meat and potatoes thing. We had meat and potatoes every night, which accounts for the 4 or 5 stints I have right now.
We called it meatloaf.
I'm heading that way too, man. My cholesterol is horrible.
We called it meatloaf Mondays, right, Brooks? Meatloaf Mondays. Everything you had on Sunday got ground up and put in that meatloaf.
I wouldn't trade it. We all had. I didn't know that I was where I was on the economic scale. I just loved the house we were in. I loved, I had a twin brother, an older sister, and so I was really a very tight family. We had a lot of fun growing up, so meat and potatoes, that's probably better than some people have.
Amen. Let me ask you something. If you had to throw a story out, what was your most memorable moment about being integral in the city of Detroit in Oakland County? Is there any story that you could tell our listeners that would be really cool? Like, hey, I helped this guy out, or I worked with Mike Illich, or I worked with Coleman Young, or I handed out with this guy, or.
I don't know if you want to go there, Bob.
Maybe kids listen.
But, this is a podcast, so you don't have to keep it G-rated. It's okay. There's no FCC.
That I have any moments growing up to stand out, but as I became an adult, a lot of things I've been involved in, both in Detroit and north of 8 Mile. Of course, I've been prosecutor for 16 years back in the 70s, the early 80s, and county exec from 92 until today. So I've had a long run in the public arena. I've enjoyed every day of it. People call me and they say, "Hey, Brooks, when are you going to retire?" And I say, when I wake up on a Monday morning and I don't look forward to going to work, then I know it's time to retire. But I'm not there yet.
You're very passionate about what you do.
Oh, yeah.
You're awesome at it. And I, you know, I had an experience with Mr. Brooks Patterson a couple years ago. We were trying to bring a company in from Poland that makes chocolate in Poland. We tried to bring them into Detroit. The deal didn't work out because our guys from Poland were just a little sketchy, and it didn't really work out. But I want to tell you, from my experience, L. Brooks Patterson, he rolled out the red carpet for these guys from Poland, took them to the Townsend for lunch, and tried to make a deal happen with my partners and my business associates and colleagues. This guy did everything he in his power to convince these guys that Oakland County, the city of Detroit, somewhere in Michigan, is where you need to be. So I respect you for that. I thank you for that. We have another company out of Miami that we're working with now. We do intend on bringing our operation from Miami up to Detroit in some manner or some capacity. I want, you know, I'm an East Side guy from Detroit, and my roots are here. And I'm very proud to be a Detroiter, and that's why I celebrate Dinner in the D. It's just not about Dinner in the D. It's about people like yourself, Mr. Patterson, people like Dario Bergamo, Dave Phillips, people that actually celebrate everything in and around the metropolitan Detroit area, because we're all one big family here. And I want to throw it back to Dario. Dario, tell us about the music program that you're going to start talking. I mean, it's all about art, whether it's music, food, the art of doing business, everything. If you're good at something, you understand the art of food, the art of making a business deal, the art of music. Tell us about what you're trying to do in inner city Detroit, well, the music program.
So what we had done when we and Brooks used to come all the time every year and support it. Tom and I did an event called Treasures from the Cellar. It was a wine tasting. We used to do it at Neiman Marcus. We did it down at the GM Winter Garden. Kalak was our sponsor. But I think what you're referring to is that we would raise money for kids with music programs where they couldn't afford instruments. And through Alexander Zonchek had introduced us to a guy that refurbished instruments. And so for $25, you could get and pick up an instrument and donate it. So we sent stuff to Martin Luther King High School, to Anita Baker's old grade school, Winterhalter, and also Northwestern. So,
that's awesome. And you guys do so much for the city, and I can't thank you enough for, I mean, you guys are such great leaders with respect to really, like I said earlier, sending the elevator down, reaching back, reaching down, and lifting people up. It's so inspirational. Like I said, I want to emulate you guys in so many ways, because if you don't give back to charity, you've accomplished nothing. You have to help out. You have to help out.
We appreciate you, Bobby, and your kind gesture this year to come on over and be one of the food sponsors for the cocktail hour. So we totally appreciate that, and you coming
no
over
problem.
And making one
I
of
love
your
the theater.
Special dishes.
If you guys don't know where it is, it's on Metro Parkway. It's an intimate setting. It's not a massive theater. It's great. You guys run it along with the guys from Palace Entertainment, right?
Well, it's you know, the Freedom Hill is east of Woodward, Brooks, in case you were wondering.
He's been there. He was there.
I know I got to probably get you like some kind of special exemption for the day to get you over there. So I think Tom and I can probably handle that. But, Tom has done with that theater is amazing. And he brought in partners last year, being a Live Nation and a Palace, to kind of run the operation and book all the acts. So Vicky and Tom and what they do for the community through the Trelawney Foundation is just amazing in itself. I mean, this is just one event that we do that helps to support the Hunger Free and the D, and as well as all the other things.
Yeah, I'm going
to
participate in that. I know Paul W. Smith is a huge ally. He's like, he does all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, and supports us enormously through all these years. He's on our board of Cars and Cigars.
Right on.
He helps MC the event with myself and Tom. So
let's take a look back here. This place is wall to wall. We're in Corktown. We're at Nancy Whiskey's, a historic site that's been here since 1902. We have the phone booth where Jimmy Hoffa used to make phone calls. Evidently, he wasn't here that one day.
He should have been here. He probably would have been safer. So
yeah, he was in my county.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say that.
Bloomfield Township.
I was not going to say that, Brooks. So
I got
you know, unfortunately, his bodyguard took the day off, evidently, that day.
No,
so
let me give a plug. You guys are talking about different charities. Back in 1980, my best friend was killed in a private plane crash. He was a pilot, and his engine froze up, a defect. And he went down and killed himself. His two kids were in the back seat. So I got the call from the state police that night and wanted to know if I knew the Dobson family. I said, yeah. So went through the whole litany of people who we lost in that accident. The tragedy was so big, we wiped out a family, that I just responded by saying, we got to do something to keep the memory of the kids alive. And they were Tim and Jennifer Dobson. So we had a golf outing back in 1980, and we gave the proceeds, $2,300, to the Clarkston schools where the kids went. But then the next year we had the second annual Dobson Open. It's $4,000 or $5,000, whatever it was. After about the third year, someone said, hey, Brooks, I don't live in Clarkston. I live in Rogers. I live in Royal Oak. Why are you giving it to the school? Why not broaden your base and come up with a better idea? So we incorporated in 1985. It's called the Rainbow Connection. And since then, that's the last 30-some years, we grant wishes for children who are very ill, very seriously ill, and we grant their wishes when we talk to the caseworker. Most of them want to go to Disney World, and we send the whole family down.
So it's the Rainbow Connection.
Rainbow Connection.
Is it rainbowconnection.org or?
Yeah, that'll find us. Well, that's what I tell you. Our budget now is $2.3
million. $2.3 million a year you raise.
I gotta talk to you about your fundraising prowess.
Get the checkbook, Dario.
Oh, no,
here we go, buddy.
I'm a writer. I want him to help me raise the money.
You have my support.
Yeah,
you have my support. Anything I can do, anything Chef Bobby can do, anything Fox 2 News can do for you, anything I'd be happy to help out. I'm blessed with two beautiful, healthy children. I'm blessed with a very good life, and I'm all about paying it forward. Yep. I'm going to stop you there. We're going to come back. We're going to be back live from Nancy Whiskey's. This place is packed. We're having a great day. I want to wish everybody a happy St. Patty's Day. We're rocking it out. Please be safe out there. Have some fun. Keep a smile on your face. Remember, enjoy the best today. Tomorrow's never promised. We'll be back with Podcast Detroit and Dinner in the D. Chef Bobby sends it off to you. We'll be right. Hey, we're back with Dinner in the D, live with Podcast Detroit here at Nancy Whiskey's. This place is rocking out. We have a special guest. Dave, kick it off. Dave Phillips.
I believe we've got Ian from the Rolling Hills of Ireland here with his pipes.
Town. This place has been here since 1902. We're rocking it at Nancy Whiskey's. We got my man, Bob, Big Bob, Wallspeeten.
Wallenspiel.
Yeah, there you go.
Wallenspiel, the lumber guy.
A good Irish name, if ever there was one.
This guy is a mountain of a man.
Glockenspiel.
Glockenspiel, if you piss me off.
Right. What's happening, Bobby?
It's going. The Irish whiskey's flowing a little too smooth. They say it tastes like the piss of an angel.
It washes down great with Pabst Blue Ribbon, though, which I'm
doing. You got a PBR in your
hand. I do.
You're a PBR guy.
Got to represent.
I didn't know that. Dave, what's going on, man? Tell our listeners about what's going on in this
place.
Dude,
this is amazing. Like, so we got here, and there were about 100 people between inside and outside, and now you can't move in this place. I mean, it is packed wall to wall with I don't think she was kidding when she said this was the party to be at in Detroit.
You know what's cool is that this is inside a neighborhood. So imagine like walking out this morning to get your paper or to take your dog for a quick leak, and you got 150, 200 plus people lined up to get into a bar.
Just right hanging outside your house. Yeah.
You got all these hot chicks parking on your lawn and, you know.
Well, you let them.
Of course. Free of charge. Free of
charge. If you were smart, you would have your door open and say, after party?
Yeah. Clean bathrooms, clean sheets, right. And whole lots of meats.
Yeah. Meats. I can cook some scrambled eggs.
When you get tired, I got a couch.
You
I got,
can fertilize
yeah.
some eggs if you like.
Boo!
So what's going on, Big Bob? What's happening today? You having a good time?
I never have a bad time. It's like I just posted a meme on Facebook. It says, don't mistake me partying on St. Patrick's Day for being Irish. I'm a German. We just don't miss drinking holidays. So
this is a drinking holiday, right?
This has been a tradition for me and my crew for years and years. Go to Old Shillelagh, hang out at the neighborhood townie bar. You know, it's kind of, it's almost like a reunion, right? Where you see the people you haven't seen all year. Get drunk before noon. It's just it's a beautiful world.
It's the grown-up version of the night before Thanksgiving. Yes. Like, that's for the college kids coming back in town to see all the old friends. This is for the adults to do
their
thing.
And the worst part this year, it's on a Friday. Usually,
what,
if it's on
worst part or best part, Bob?
Well, I'll give you an example. If it's on a, typically it's on like a Tuesday or Wednesday, people get in the morning, right? You drink till like 5, and then you crash out so you can work the next day. Today being Friday, this shit's going to go till 2 a.m. strong.
This shit's going to go till Sunday.
Right?
Yeah. Right? So from Mrs. Grogan here, Cheryl Grogan said that this place has been rocking since before the parade last week.
Yeah, 4,000 people and here last Sunday.
I'll tell you what, this place is in really good shape. I mean, I had 4,000 people come through my business. I'll tell you what, the place
it
is
would
in
show.
Shambles. This place is built like a brick shithouse made in Corktown. So, you know, some of the people we've talked to today have been really, really fun to talk to. Earlier on the show, we had Al Brooks Patterson. I'm still looking for Mr. Hickey, the truck driver from Chrysler. He's here getting tanked today. He's celebrating his retirement in 2 weeks. So this is the type of crowd that we have in here. We got all kinds of entrepreneurs. We got housewives in here looking to hook up.
Come on down, guys. Don Trump Jr.'s in the house.
Yeah, we had Don Trump Jr. over here. Hey, whisper.
Sorry.
Hey, I'm going to go over to Gilbert's later on in a suburb of Detroit. We're going to hang out at Gilbert's. They got a little leprechaun that they pay money to, and we're going to throw him around the room a little bit.
Sounds amazing.
Gilbert's is in St. Clair Shores. The owner of Gilbert's has been buying drinks for everybody here. Louis Bercolis is over there being a stud that he is. He's looking for young chicks. He's an older guy. His ratio is half his age, less 7 years. So I think he's 56, so he's looking for like somebody 21. In the early 20s.
Yeah.
So
I can't do that. That's like 14.
I'm not quite there yet, and I'm still married, so right. I'm not going.
And why don't you have a seat?
Exactly. So they're serving up the corned beef now. They've been shaving corned beef and boiling potatoes. I met with the culinary team here. They've been prepping for 2 days for this event. They are wall-to-wall, stacked from floor to ceiling with bread racks and trays of cheese and Swiss cheese, and they got Grobel's corned beef down here.
Bobby, let me ask you that. How do you, like you being in this business, how do you prep for feeding?
That's a great question.
This many people, it's bananas.
You know as well as I know, you're only as good as your team. So you have to be methodical, and you have to utilize smart preparation. You don't want to cook the stuff too far in advance, then it tastes like the fridge, it's old.
Right.
So you want to try to stay ahead of the curve.
And you don't want to make too much, because then you got, what are you going to do tomorrow?
Well, the good thing about corned beef is you can refreeze it, repack it. It's good. It's stable because you brine it, and then you cook it for 4 hours. But my team would be very impressed with this team down here at Nancy Whiskey's today, because they're about 200 to 300 people ahead of the curve. So as 100 people walk in, they're already 200 ahead of those 100 people. So that's the key, to try to stay ahead of the curve. They don't have a big menu. It's a limited menu today. So they're smart. They have an amazing fish fry down here. The fish fry is a charity event, too. They do a lot of charity fish
now,
fries.
Now, how does that work? Like, so I gave up being Catholic for Lent years ago and never went back. Is there a dispensation? Because
Dave, you gave up Lent for Lent. Right?
No, I gave up being Catholic for Lent 1 year, and I never looked back. It was amazing. There's got to be a dispensation. Like, I would think that not being able to eat corned beef on a Friday.
No, this happened like three years ago, and the Pope said it was okay.
And there you go. So
that's why I threw all this crap out the window. I'm like, wait, the Pope? You can't make you can't, like, one-off this.
Well, he's the Pope. Pope, man. Yeah.
Boom. He could say we're legalizing marijuana on a global scale tomorrow.
My mother always said
people are going to follow. Right.
My mother always said, "If you did you do it on purpose, Bobby? No, then it was okay. I wouldn't eat a salami sandwich without vengeance. Like
try to use that excuse with my wife. That's not going to happen.
But it was completely by accident.
Absolutely not. Okay, then it's okay. Right. No way.
No.
I'm getting the blowtorch and the friggin' pliers out.
Right, right. And I'm on the couch.
Yeah, for weeks. The dog won't even talk to me when I take my wife off. So, guys, so what's going on next? What's going on with your show? What are we looking forward to? What's the new craze in the tech-savvy world? What's going on?
Well, so we had one of our bigger events last night over at the Majestic. Had a ton of people come through there.
There was 1,000-plus people at
that
event.
Dude, it was nuts.
So we've been doing a...
I love the event.
Bobby, we've been doing a concept called the Pizza Party since 2009. And what it was is a lot of things we do is because other things suck. And we're, like, trying to do it better. We're just trying to make it suck less. And job fairs in this town are brutal. It's big, long lines of guys in sad suits and stacks of resumes. And you really don't build that relationship. You're just handing over a piece of paper. They're handing over a postcard to fill out an app online. Like, there's got to be a better way. So we decided to take over nightclubs, have house DJs and alcohol, and say, you know, hey, don't meet 55 people tonight. Meet 5.
Right.
Like, and foster.
Let's not do the speed dating thing.
Yeah.
Let's go in, have a cocktail, get comfortable, find your comfort zone, and network with somebody that needs help. Let me tell you something. This city is growing by leaps and bounds. Everybody needs staff. That's my biggest challenge. My catering company is growing by leaps and bounds. My biggest issue is getting the right people for the right job.
Well, now, seeing there was a story that just hit, I want to say, 2 days ago about why your dining experience in Detroit probably sucks. And the biggest thing in the article was the lack of trained, dedicated people in the service industry.
I agree with you 1,000%. It's frowned upon to be a server in certain sects of culture. What people don't understand is that you are providing a noble service. There's nothing wrong with it. I have a buddy of mine that is a professional waiter. I don't call him, he's a professional. He makes $100,000 a year working in Capitol Grill.
I believe it.
Noble. He shows on his tax return $100,000. That's $2,000 a week. He works 4 nights a week and sometimes 5. He's killing it out there. There's nothing wrong with being a server. There's nothing wrong with being a chef.
See, I'm not gonna lie. Like the thing, like if I walk in, like whether it's like Mr. Paul's or you know like a chop house or a steakhouse Lally's, like that. Yeah. Dude, if I walk in and if my waiter is at least 45 to 50 years old, I immediately know I'm solid. This is going to be a good night.
This guy's a veteran waiter. Yep. He's a veteran server.
There was a guy at Lely's when me and Bo went. Couldn't have been a day over 24. Was probably one of the best servers I've ever. And I'm like, this kid's gonna not just passionate, he was respectful and he was on it. He was just on it. Like it's so rare.
You don't see that.
Like, I go, this kid's gonna be like, I don't even know if it's this industry, but
work ethic and dedication, what a novel concept.
Totally.
The millennials, I just yesterday told my daughter Karina, I said, you see this hand? What's in my hand? She goes, nothing. I said, that's what you're entitled to.
Uh-huh.
You gotta work for it. And a lot of these kids are so used to pushing a button and getting the answers to their social studies question. Pushing a button and getting the Snapchat.
Yep.
As parents and as a society, I think we kind of lost our way. We kind of dropped that one off the
map. Well, the thing is, the difference is, when I was a kid, I had to carry golf bags before I could work in the pro shop. I had to lug beer cases.
You start as the pro?
No, right.
And get the Ferrari in the parking spot up front?
No.
You didn't get that?
No, it's crazy.
Neither did I.
And, you know, I had to...
Well, I got to meet Lacey Underalls, so, I mean, it was, you know...
And I had to lug beer kegs before I could be a beer salesman. You know what I mean? There's no handing anything.
You got to start as a ditch digger, right?
You do.
Well, and it's like if I've said it once, I've said it a million times. Like I think a lot of that has to do with, so like our parents were like probably the first generation where both parents worked outside the home, in a large scale. Like before that, it was always like mom staying home.
My mother worked harder than my father. My father was somewhat lazy.
Well, there you go. So, but you know, so both parents were out of the home, so they wanted, you know, to some degree, it was, hey, here are things to replace us not being here. Now, depending on how your parents were, whether they taught you value of that or they taught you to just expect it, now you have our generation that's having kids, and you always want, you know, you always want your kids to do better than you did. Well, if your parents taught you the right lessons when you're buying your kids stuff, you're teaching them those same lessons.
There's checks and balances.
But the kids that didn't get those lessons and just learned to expect it, that's where I think a lot of like the you know cliche about the millennial generation is coming in, because everything was just handed to them. It's not their fault. That's the expectation that was set for them.
I agree 1,000%.
The problem with me and your generation, Dave, is all this stuff is geared for 80s kids.
Yeah.
Right? All the stuff that I needed to buy, like from gaming systems to entertainment stuff, we're buying now because it's either stuff we couldn't have as a kid or we just still like it.
Yeah.
And our kids are like, there's no way I'm buying my kid an Xbox One, but I'm buying one for me.
For me, yeah.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, it's kind of, it makes you feel good. It's gratification as a parent. I'm successful enough to provide better for my kids.
Yeah.
Through my sweat and my labor, the fruits of my labor, I can afford to buy my child this.
We grew up immigrant poor also. I heard your story too.
I was like Willy Wonka on the chocolate factory. We had tenants in the basement. We had grandparents living upstairs. We had aunts and uncles off the boat.
Right of moonshine.
Living in the garage. It was crazy. I'm not kidding you. Like, and honestly.
He was so mad when he found out his grandpa had a copper still that they never told him about.
Oh, are you serious?
A nice one.
Nice one.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have some cool history. I really admire the German, the culture of the Germans. My father-in-law was educated in Germany, and he loved German soccer. That's all he talked about. You're a diehard German guy. You have the Team Germany, the Adidas jacket, the official jacket.
I do.
My father-in-law, I got to tell you, my father-in-law, when the German team would take the field, he'd stand up and he'd go nuts. He'd start singing the German national anthem. My father-in-law is 100% Lebanese, but he was born to be a German. He worked for the German army.
Right, right.
He had a PhD in aviation, all stuff. The guy loved Wagner and Klinsmann. He used to say, Klinsmann! Right? So I love Germany. I love everything about Germany through the passion of my father-in-law. And the reason why I bring him up is because it's about the people ahead of us that teach us values in life.
Yep.
And I would preach to you is take the time. Don't raise your kids with your money. Raise them with an iron fist a little. Don't beat them, but just shake them up a little bit. Let them know you mean business. And it's about respect. It's about what you have. And it's about paying it forward to your parents by being a good kid. And I think not enough of us parents do that and make
Very
them
true.
Accountable. We need more accountability. So I'm throwing it back to you, Bob. So tell me about the German heritage a little bit on St. Paddy's Day. They can share their holiday with you. You're too cool not to.
No, I was going
to
say, it's kind of this is kind of like the get together with my friends day. I'm an Oktoberfest guy through and through. Been there four times, actually in Munich.
What's the big beer over there?
Hofbräu, Paulaner, Löwenbräu. Each brewery has their own stadium tent. What's going on now? The Germans would laugh at this. This is nothing. No, this is like.
Can you teach me how to make a real beer case?
Absolutely.
My beer cheese isn't that great.
Oh yeah.
I gotta be honest with you. It's good enough to fool the amateurs, but I'm not fooling anybody like you.
No, you make it with Rauch beer, with German smoked beer.
Smoked beer.
Yeah.
Kelly Ingles here. Smoked beer, you make it with the smoked beer. The beer cheese. We're making it with the beer cheese.
Like I know you're a professional chef, but follow the fat guy.
What's that?
I said, I know you're a professional chef and everything, but trust me, follow the fat guy.
He's big. He's big boned.
I'll tell you what,
if a fight breaks out in this place, I'm hiding behind Bob.
So here's where I can stand toe-to-toe to you on. And if we ever go have dinner and I cook, I'm making my Jaeger schnitzel, smoked pork chops with spätzle.
I love spätzle.
Yeah. So the spätzle get brown gravy, mm-hmm. and then I make a Jaeger schnitzel sauce.
Are you serious? Jaeger?
No. It's Jaeger. It's just Hunter... Hunter Jaeger's Hunter.
Okay,
just
cool.
A Hunter sauce. It's mushroom-based, mushroom paprika-based. And then my goulash over potato pancakes.
That's awesome.
There's nothing like
potato.
It.
That's another thing I'm not really great at. I can make a decent potato pancake, but I love a good potato pancake. I use them for caviar. I use them for other things other than just a breakfast or an accoutrement to a dinner. Tell us about what the secret is to that.
I go two potatoes, one onion.
Two potatoes,
and
one onion.
Season the heck out of it.
How much egg do you put in? How much flour do you
put
in?
One egg. So for every two potatoes, one onion, one egg.
You put any chive or scallion in there at all?
No.
For color? Nothing?
No. I use a little bit of Vegetta.
Okay.
A little bit of Wurst. A little bit of Maggi.
Oh, I love Maggi.
Yeah, yeah. So a couple dash of Maggi. Pinch of Vegetta.
All right, that's
run,
awesome.
Yeah,
that's a great, great recipe. That's really cool.
And that's all. It's all
applesauce or like that.
No,
or
no
sour cream. So
a little bit of sour cream.
I gotta take a second to shout out to Trico Salon. They have six salons in the metropolitan Detroit area. They've been nice enough to send us some sponsorship dollars, and I appreciate them backing the Dinner and the D and the podcast Detroit brands. One of their flagship stores, though, is that right, Scott? It's at Somerset Mall. And we've teamed up with Somerset Mall. Lakeland Banquets.com and Lakeland1.com has teamed up to do stuff with the American Heart Association at Somerset Mall. We love to frequent Somerset Mall. Unfortunately, my wife loves Somerset Mall, and my kids love Somerset Mall. So the Forbes family, I helped make their Bentley payment, I think, the Forbes family, with regards to the listening and the drinking and the partying. Can you hear these people here? They're having a good time, guys. Listen to this place. This place is on fire.
So, Bobby, I gotta drop the bomb.
What's that?
The pipe bomb of all pipe bombs. I make a bratwurst burger that would...
I love bratwurst.
No, no. So you take bratwurst. I get the butcher, peel the bratwurst,
yes.
Make it into patties.
That's a great idea.
Grill top.
What accoutrements? Are we putting
Munster,
sour cream on there?
Nope. What are we Munster there? Cheese.
What about sauerkraut?
Kraut.
Okay.
I make a...
Bacon?
No bacon. I make
we're gonna add bacon to that.
We can. But I make a horseradish, spicy mustard, mayo, aioli on a pretzel roll.
This guy's like,
oh, it's phenomenal.
This is like too much culinary foreplay for me. I'm aroused. Too much culinary foreplay. So, we're going to actually pay it forward today. Scott, our producer from Savvy Digital, Scott McCarver from Fox 2, Dave Phillips and Bob, we're going to run over to the Covenant House with my assistant Kelly Engel, because today is Pay It Forward Friday. And I don't care how wealthy you are and how successful you are absolutely nothing unless you pay it forward. You got to send the elevator down, you got to pick some people up and help them out. And that's what the city of Detroit is all about. We're accomplishing greatness, one village, one little section of the city at a time. We're starting from the inner city of Detroit, and we're spreading it out. The guys from Podcast Detroit are celebrating everything that's going on. Please stay tuned. Listen for our next two podcasts. We're going to be on again on the 29th. We're going to be on again on the 30th. We're going to be broadcasting live from Park. We're going to be broadcasting live from the Penobscot Building. Send us some inbox on Dinner in the D on our Facebook page. We'll put you on the VIP list. It's an opportunity for you to come in, network with other entrepreneurs in the city, talk to our guys from Podcast Detroit, get on the guest list, hang out, exchange business cards. I want to thank you guys so much for getting me involved with this. This has been an amazing experience for me. I've been having a great time with this. We have a lot of fans here. I love Detroit. We're on our climb back. And I want to close it out and thank our sponsors, Zim's Vodka, Grobel's Corned Beef, Trico Salon, Savvy Digital, Lakeland Banquet and Event Center, Lakeland1.com. My man Gilbert over here, Gilbert Percolis. We're going to Gilbert's next. We're going to hang out for a little bit. And we Ink Detroit gave us these these badass T-shirts. They say, "Kiss me, I'm Detroitish." Look out for them. Chef Bobby and the crew from Dinner in the D are going to be passing them out all day today in and around the city. We got what's the owner's name?
Steve Mansour.
Steve Mansour is sharing office space with us at the Penobscot Building. He will be at our podcast at the Penobscot Building with our guys from Podcast Detroit. Thank you so much. I'm going to throw it back to Dave Phillips. Got a little close out. Plug your
man. It's been a hell of a time having you on Podcast Detroit so far. I can't tell you how many times I've told the story. I've never seen a launch party for a podcast before, and holy hell, did you put together an amazing one!
Well, that's just the first of many.
I just all that money and all the beautiful women in one room. Good God, man.
And my wife was
I feel like I'm doing it wrong.
We had to shoo some of them away.
I know. I feel like we're doing it wrong.
You're too hot. My wife's here. She's never going to. No. You just got to go.
No, so it is. I mean,
we'll text you when she leaves.
Right. Yeah, no, so, I mean, it's been a blast. I think it's. And I'm looking forward to everything we got going on ahead.
Yeah, right on. So, again, I want to thank iTunes. I want to thank SoundCloud. I want to thank Stitcher for carrying this thing and helping us out. And I want to give a shout-out to Scott Sabellico, who's brought me in to meet with you. And I want to thank our listeners. We want to grow this thing and really celebrate everything that's going on in and around the city of Detroit. I always say celebrate with the best today because tomorrow's never promised. I want to thank you for tuning in. Happy St. Paddy's Day from Dinner in the D and the people of Detroit.
I'm Charlie Langton, Fox 2, WWJ, the newest show, the greatest show right now, Dinner in the D. I can't wait to see it again and again. It's like a really good meal.
How's the Italian food in this restaurant?
Good. Try the veal. The best in the city.
I'll have it.
Hey, top of the morning to you. Happy St. Paddy's Day from Nancy Whiskey. We have the owner, Jerry Stevens, going to tell us what he's serving up on tap.
Unless you care for another bottle of the Chateau Latour.
Yes, but no more 1966. Let's splurge. Bring us some fresh wine, the freshest you've got. This year, no more of this old stuff.
We're with Sheila Brody, who is a former bride of Funkenstein from George Clinton and the P-Funk.
What about you, Peggy Sue?
$5 shake.
You think I can have a sip of that?
Be my guest.
I gotta know what a $5 shake tastes like.
We have Ryan Chapp, VP of Business Development of Grobel's Corned Beef Eastern Market Detroit. Stay tuned. We got some cool stuff happening on St. Paddy's Day, live from Dinner in the D at Nancy Whiskey. Get up!